going on.
This is It's the Beat on the Mighty 1290 Coil. It's the Beat is sponsored by Filmstream's Ruth Sokoloff Theater. Now, here are your hosts, Karen Sokoloff-Javich and Jody Vinci.
Hey, Jody.
Hey, Karen.
First Saturday in December.
I know. Can you believe already? And
no.
It's cold.
That was my word for you today, Jody.
What was that? Cold?
Cold.
Oh, really? Because it's the word
of the day.
Oh,
how about frigid the whole week?
Oh.
Could be worse, though. We know that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had some good days and bad days. Welcome to Nebraska. It could be,
right.
You know, maybe
it's
tomorrow
okay.
It'll be 80. You just don't know.
It's okay. Well, Joe, say it's 3 o'clock, although it's only like 12-something today. You're hungry again and you're feeling sleepy. Now, I have some snacks you should not have for this slump, okay?
Okay.
Okay. First one you shouldn't have is pretzels.
Why?
Because it says that.
Okay. Because? No.
Because it has calories, carbohydrates, too much sodium, and nothing to keep you nourished, but they give you, you should try instead, guess what? A whole grain, high-fiber cereal mixed with 2 tablespoons of nuts.
Okay, I do
instead
that.
Instead of the pretzels.
Sometimes, yeah,
okay.
That's good. I know you probably shouldn't have baked, or not baked chips, but potato chips.
Yeah, and even baked potato chips.
So any of those snacky items, right?
But, and you know what? They say that you could have dry roasted edamame. Have you ever tried that?
No, but...
They're actually good.
Really?
Because
I love
edamame.
You want
something crunchy.
Okay, I'll
that's
do that.
Okay.
That's
yeah,
what people
that's
miss,
pretty good.
And I think that's what happens when people overeat is they miss that crunch.
Uh-huh.
So,
I think you're
you know,
right. You
the,
just
the celery,
eat the whole box
you know,
of
right.
potato chips.
Right, because yeah, I like that
right.
crunch. But I was this amazed me that it said to skip sports and energy drinks.
Yeah, you know why? They have sugar in them, a lot of them.
Yeah, so
there's
then you probably
no
have like a high, and then you
Yeah, and then you have
drop,
the sugar.
And you slump.
Yeah, so do you like those flavored seltzers? Because that's what they say to eat on that.
I do.
Yeah.
Love those.
Okay.
But it says to skip frozen yogurt. And I think everyone thinks, oh, that's a good pick-me-up. But it's
yeah,
full
but
of
it's
sugar.
It's full of sugar and calories.
And you know what? I mean, those frozen yogurt places are popping up everywhere.
But, Jode, even the yogurt in the store, have you looked at it?
Yeah.
It's not frozen. It's so much sugar. I think Greek yogurt may have less, the least amount of sugar.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Mm-hmm. And skip the old smoothie, Jode. Hate to tell us.
All right. We'll just have green tea and sit
with green tea. That'd be good.
Green tea and celery. Woo! Doesn't that sound delish? Mm-hmm.
Well, Jode, we know it's the end of the year, and we'd love to go over the list of the top 10 girls' names and boys' names, okay, of 2013.
And the top is, what's the number one top name? In
for
2013,
which?
For girls.
You know, it's so odd. Sophia.
Oh, Sophia.
Do you know any? I know
I do.
A dog named Sophia.
I do. My daughter goes to school with a Sophia.
A Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter's name, Mia, is number 5.
Oh, number. Okay, great.
How about
yeah,
that?
She goes to. It's. I see Sophia, Emma, and Olivia, and Isabella are in front of Mia, and those are all girls that are in school with my daughter.
Uh huh. And they all end in A. That is funny, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So
how
the
about
next
boys'
one,
names?
Ava. Do you know a Jackson? That's number 1.
I do. So there's a Jackson that goes to school with my daughter. But
well,
not
everybody
in...
goes to school with
well,
Mia.
Well, yes, because everyone
that's
does.
That's that age.
That's right. It is. But no Aiden. So I see the second name is Aiden and Liam. And Lucas, Noah. Mason, Jaden. There is both a boy, Jaden, in her school and a girl, Jaden,
wow.
in her school.
You know what's not on the list? David. That's always on the list.
And that's such a... good,
common.
Strong name.
It is.
It's
it really
because
is.
They're, I think this must be, this year must be the year of the funky.
Of the funky
kinda,
names.
A little bit.
Kind of celeb
not too
a little
bad.
Bit.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
it's
nobody's,
not like they're naming.
North is not on the top 10.
North,
isn't
right.
that good?
Or Basil. Right?
Basil. Or tomato and Basil.
That's right. Or Stevia.
Oh,
I mean,
Stevia.
So, even though my son's name is Steven, I don't think we call him Stevia. But we could. We could open up a restaurant and call it Mia and
Stevia.
Steven. And
yeah,
it's Stevia.
Right.
I think I've just found what I'm doing. It's my second calling.
Oh, no.
Thank
you're not
you.
Leaving here, Jode.
Oh, come
anyway,
on.
Anyway, Celebrity Beat.
Yes.
This is so interesting. You know, Jennifer Hudson, such a great singer.
And beautiful.
And she won an Oscar, but she didn't know what an Oscar was. When
that,
she
I find that hard to believe.
Won
what do you
one.
Think?
Well, it just said, you know, she grew up in a place where you don't, you know, really watch the Oscars.
Okay. What was that place? A closet? I mean, who doesn't want...
She's a Chicago native.
Yeah, there's something
said,
wrong with that
where
story.
We came from, we didn't know anything about that world. If you see it on TV, it's like, oh, people in fancy suits and ties. That was her quote.
Yeah.
But now she knows what an Oscar is.
Yeah. So maybe it just wasn't something she could relate to because she knew she was so far
away.
That's
true, yeah.
You know who's going to get an Oscar probably is Bruce Dern.
Yeah, isn't he?
Yeah. Didn't we loved seeing him when he was in Omaha a couple weeks ago. Wasn't he great?
Wonderful.
Oh, love him. What's going on with him? He's...
Let's see.
He's
you
having
know, I
lunch.
Didn't realize he was in The Great Gatsby. Did you remember that with Robert Redford?
I didn't know that he was.
Yeah. In 1974. I didn't realize that. You know, we looked him up and he was kind of cute a long time ago.
Well, he probably was. I mean, you know, and Laura's pretty, his daughter.
Yes, Laura is pretty.
He's funky. You know, he's been in a lot of movies.
No, totally. And then Laura Dern, of course, was in Citizen Ruth, which Jodie Vinci was in.
Oh, of course.
You know
starring.
Jode.
That's right. Starring.
Starring Jodie Vinci.
And his mom is Diane Ladd. I mean, no, his ex-wife is Diane Ladd. Laura Dern's mom is Diane Ladd.
Right.
What was she? Oh, she was in HBO's Enlightened.
Enlightened. I don't remember that.
Yeah, I think I saw a few of those. Yes, it was good.
Oh, okay. All right. And what's your favorite comedy of all time? Do you have one?
Oh, there's
like
so many.
Like a TV comedy.
So many. What's yours?
And mine is definitely I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy. I love Lucy.
It's timeless.
It is.
And they're going to have a couple versions in green and red, not in black and white. Isn't that
weird? For Christmas?
For Christmas.
Really? What would that look like?
I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Well, you can definitely see her red hair.
Well, so. That's true. That's true. I Love Red. Maybe they should change the name
of
the
Red,
the show.
Lucy.
Yeah.
That's it, Joe. That's it.
I love it. Well, you know what? She's got a great show, and and we miss Lucille Ball. But what wonderful people do we have on our show?
We have a fun show today.
Yeah, we
Joe.
Do. We've got Michelle Strom from the Winning Crown Boutique.
Mm-hmm. She sells those dresses to us because we're going into pageants.
Of course.
Right?
My God. We're going to be misinformed. Maybe we'll be misinformed.
That's what
I don't
we
know.
Are, all right.
Misconnected? I don't know. We'll come up with something. How about our next
Lawler.
Guest?
Kevin Lawler.
Yep.
Yeah, he's directing Jacob Marley's Christmas Carol. He's going to talk about that.
That sounds
and
fun.
And then who's our last guest, Joe?
We're going to close the show with Mark Langan, who's a retired undercover narcotics cop. And he's an author, and he's going to talk about Busting Bad Guys, his book that seems very gritty.
Sounds so interesting,
I know.
It? Well, we'll be right back with Michelle Strom.
We know a girl who makes quite a statement. She's pure entertainment to all.
And speaking of style, we have in the studio with us Michelle Strom. She is the owner of Winning Crown Boutique, and we're so glad to have you here today, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the studio.
Yeah. And how did you get the idea to have this store?
You know, when I was competing in the Mrs. Nebraska pageant back in 2007, I was fortunate enough to win my first time, which also left me wondering where I was going to go to get a national level dress. So I ended up flying to LA. I met with a famous designer. She ended up making my dress to compete at Mrs. America. And after I came back, I realized that there was definitely a need here in the Midwest for more formal wear options for people. So not just people competing in pageants, but, you know, the mother of the bride and the balls and the galas and all those events that were happening. So I actually opened out of my home, and I had this one little room, and it was packed full of dresses. I had customers who came, made appointments, and it became so big so quick that I moved out of my home and moved into Rockbrook Village. I've been there ever since. So it was definitely a good move to get out of the house. It was tough to maintain right there in the house.
It's a beautiful store, Joe.
Oh, it is. It's beautiful.
I walk by it all
the
time. I know. I love to look in your window all the
time. It's a fantasy.
Don't you think?
It's
totally.
Kind of like
lots of sparkle, lots of glamour in there.
That's what it looks like, a pageant
wedding. Karen, maybe we should have had we should have had her bring in two dresses. And while we were interviewing you, Michelle, we should have worn those dresses.
Well, what I told Michelle is,
when else will I wear one?
I don't think any of us would have been breathing then.
Yeah.
We'd have been sitting here holding our breath, trying to stay in the dress.
That's
but I
right,
told her I used to wear those dresses in my youth, you know. Well, maybe not exactly, but
well, close.
Close.
Okay.
Close.
That's another, you know what? That's another show.
Yeah.
We can talk about
that. It's my fantasy.
Yeah.
It's our fantasy.
But speaking, I mean, of winning. So you were Mrs. Nebraska. You were Mrs. Omaha, correct?
I started as Mrs. Omaha as my local title.
Okay.
Then went to Mrs. Nebraska and won, and then was second runner-up at Mrs. America, so not quite a winner there, but
you know, for me,
I was plenty satisfied with being top three in the country. I'll take it any day.
Totally.
Did you grow up in pageants, Michelle?
I actually didn't.
Gymnastics.
I was a gymnast, so I spent my entire life in a gym, and actually went away to college for gymnastics as well, and then had a career-ending injury, had to quit, and really just started to find other things in life that made me happy. And, you know, pageants aren't just about beauty. It also is about the public speaking and trying to have a goal for yourself, maybe to get into shape or to improve your public speaking. And that's really what I took on for myself. I was actually very shy to speak in public. And I think I've come a long way being able to speak on the radio, on TV, in front of all sorts of people
now.
Yeah,
that's great.
And so that was one of the challenges I really was trying to overcome with getting into pageants.
Now your daughter is doing it?
She is, and I think she's just like me. When I was a kid, she's also a gymnast, and she's way better than I ever was. And she's extremely shy. So she likes everyone else in the room to do the speaking for her, and I can definitely relate to that. And she's now kind of breaking out of her shell and realizing it's okay to be able to stand up on a stage and speak on a microphone or to be able to answer people's questions when they ask you, even in class. So she's also learning. She's a state title holder and just
finished.
She's 10, and she was first runner-up here in the nation for the National American Miss Pageant. So very proud of her.
Can you imagine 10 and to have that much poise and yet you're shy?
Well, you know,
it is amazing to see these little girls – and how much they can overcome being shy on stage or their public speaking or sitting down in an interview and being able to speak. So it's really fun to see these girls evolve.
And I love your quote where you said, you know, there's only one winner. So, you know, everyone really has to learn how to lose graciously.
You do. You really do. Because if you're in a state pageant, you know, we always say there's typically about 49 losers, one winner.
Yeah.
And the odds are always against you. So you have to go in with the mindset that I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to try and walk away with the title. But if I don't, it's okay.
Right.
And hopefully you learned something about yourself. You met some great people. And you can be a better person moving forward, maybe in your public speaking or whatever it may be.
And Miss Nebraska won because of you. Well, you were a part of it, right?
I was, you know, a part of Teresa Scanlon when she won Miss America.
Remember that, Jode? When Nebraska won? That was so great.
Which was
wonderful.
That was in 2011 when she won Miss America. And I was fortunate enough to meet Teresa when she was preparing for the state pageant. So we dressed her and on a very limited budget, and she actually won the Miss Nebraska pageant. And I traveled with her to Vegas and did her makeup during the competition and also designed her dress that she wore when she won. So we definitely had a hand in the glamour side of Teresa and helping her look beautiful and feel beautiful. And it's the first time it ever happened for Nebraska, so it was really exciting.
I mean, it's a huge coup. It's a huge coup when you can beat Texas. It's always
Texas.
They work at that.
And
really
they have their coaches, and you know these people. I'm sure make incredible money training and coaching these contestants. So what a great accolade for you. I mean,
well,
a nice
and Teresa's just unique.
So
it wasn't any of us coaches that helped her.
What was her talent?
She plays the piano.
Okay.
And she's just a very unique, amazing person. So when you meet her, you immediately say, wow, she's got something different. And so you want to listen to her, and you're inspired by her. And she's truly unique. I can see why she won. And the fact that she was 17 and she was that poised.
Oh, my gosh. She's
that's
17.
What made her
special. I didn't realize she was 17. So I thought she was older.
No, she was 17 when she won.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that the youngest you can be?
It is.
And
so,
what's the oldest?
There you go.
24.
24.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. So think about that. 17, from Nebraska. Obviously, she has to have something unique about her besides the fact that she's from Nebraska. I mean, that alone, you've got to say, is from Miss America, that is unique. How about this? Speaking of unique, you had such an incredible TV show. For our listeners, excuse me, I'm not sure if they subscribe to WeTV. However, I subscribe to WeTV, and you were on, I watched it kind of throughout the summer.
Right.
Was that about right?
August and September, we were on. You can actually watch it on iTunes right now. So you can download the whole
thing.
What's the name
of the show?
Obsessed with the Dress.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Obsessed with the Dress. Yeah.
And it was great. It was like reality TV, and it just followed just the typical day in your store how competitive it is amongst your sales folks.
Mostly, you know, just looking at the competitive nature of salespeople in general.
Right.
I will say that a lot of that was very amped up for TV.
Okay.
My sales staff are incredible people.
Yeah.
You know, they're not backstabbing, vindictive people that I think the show kind of made them out to be.
Is that editing?
Of course.
Possibly.
A lot of that is editing. Yeah. And also just let's play up a storyline so it sounds more
dramatic.
Entertaining for our viewers. But I think the contestants all looked amazing. The people that came in and shopped, they looked great. And we showed that we could help people win.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrific.
And it's great exposure.
Yeah, it was. It was great for Nebraska.
How did they find out about you? Because was that because she won Miss Nebraska?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I had a phone call from Pytown Productions, who's the production company who put this whole thing together, and they said they were trying to put a show together looking at the world of pageantry from the dress perspective and wondered if I would be interested. So after going round and round and looking at the idea, I thought it seemed like a good idea. And they then sold it to WeTV, and WeTV then made a whole series out of it. Mm-hmm. So it's been a long process, several years in the making. And
I didn't realize
we actually filmed all of the episodes last summer. So it took an entire year just even for those shows to make it onto the air.
Oh,
so
you did it a year ago.
A year ago.
Okay.
So I was about 10 pounds skinnier.
Oh, well, that's
a little tanner.
I don't think so. You couldn't
looking
be.
Good.
No,
but,
you couldn't be.
You're looking beautiful.
But Michelle,
you
know, I have a question. Of say we have a young listener that wants to get into pageants. What would you suggest? Or what, you know, say she's 13, 14, 15.
Sure. I always say that we're going to pick a pageant that best fits what you're great at. So if you're a really talented singer or dancer, we maybe may put you in the Miss America organization. But maybe you're aspiring to be a model or in entertainment, we might go the USA route. Uh-huh. Or if you're very community service driven or grade oriented, you're a very smart kid, we may put you in National American Miss or America's National Teenager. So at the winning crown, we can help you to decide which pageant would be best for you, because there's nothing like going into, a pageant and you're not right for what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And then you're frustrated because you're not going to win. Mm-hmm. So we try and help you to decide where you're going to be best suited to win.
That's great.
Well,
isn't that great, Jody?
She said, you know, in a direct quote from you, Michelle, people want to know where to go to win. And your motto has always been, we dress winners.
And we don't do second place.
That's right. Well, how great. The Winning Crown Boutique in Rockbrook.
Rockbrook Village.
And it was
108th
wonderful
and
to,
Center.
Yep. Yes. Wonderful to have you in the studio.
Well, thank
Thanks.
You.
Best of luck
it.
For
thanks
all
a lot,
of your
Michelle.
Future endeavors.
And we will
thanks,
follow
Michelle.
Your career.
Well, thank
and
you.
All your winners, okay?
Yes. Thanks.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's the Beat on the Mighty 1290 Coil. Once again, here are your hosts, Karen Sokoloff-Javich and Jody Vinci.
Hi, welcome back to the studio. On the phone joining us from Las Vegas is Kevin Lawler. Kevin is a poet, a playwright, a director, a designer, and an actor. The
Woo.
List goes on and on.
Really?
I know. He's the producing artistic director of the Great Plains Theater Conference, and he's also, Karen, the co-founder of the award-winning Blue Barn Theater in Omaha. Welcome, Kevin.
Kevin.
Thank you very much.
You're a celebrity, Kevin.
Well, I don't know about that. But
you've done a lot. And
what's
coming up, or what is right now at Blue Barn?
Right now at Blue Barn is Jacob Marley's Christmas Carol, and it's one of my favorite plays and directing for almost 30 years now.
Really?
One of my very, very favorite scripts.
Wait, the Blue Barn has done this show for 30 years?
No. They've done it once before.
Oh.
But this is just out of all the scripts that I've directed.
Oh, it's your
this
favorite.
This is one of my favorites.
But, Kevin, so Jacob Marley's Christmas Carol, so this is the story that's behind Dickens' A Christmas Carol?
Yeah, it takes the classic Dickens' A Christmas Carol story, which is really told about Ebenezer Scrooge.
Right.
And it tells the story from his dead business partner, Jacob Marley's, perspective.
Oh,
and if you, I don't know if you remember, but in the original story, the very first ghost that comes to visit Ebenezer Scrooge on Christmas Eve night is Jacob Marley, his dead partner. And so this whole perspective tells how Jacob Marley comes back and why he comes back to visit Scrooge, and gives you this whole other perspective on Christmas Carol. It's just ingenious.
Oh.
And
wow.
Very, very funny, and also makes you weep like a baby.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really awesome. It's a great, great evening.
Yeah, and people come back year after year and see this, right?
Yeah, well, this is the second year, but Susan Clementober, the artistic director of the theater, decided to bring it back because this is the Blue Barn's 25th year anniversary.
Oh.
And this show was one of the most requested shows to be brought back in 25 years of being around. So it's a huge favorite, and it's selling out quite quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone then has to call to get tickets, right?
That's right. There's still tickets left. But it is an incredible night. It's a very, very wonderful night in the theater.
Who's in the cast? Can you tell us some people in it?
Well, one of the other big reasons about bringing it back is that Nils Holland stars as Jacob Marley, and he was one of the founders of the Blue Barn along with myself.
Okay.
And so two of the Blue Barn founders are in the cast, but it also has Kevin Barrett and Scott Working and Bill Grennan, who are those four together, they're four of the top actors in the city, and they are amazing in this show.
Wow. Any females in the show? No, so we have a lot of males.
Just four guys.
Okay.
Oh, so it should be Jacob Marley's male Christmas Carol.
That's right. They play all the roles, and it's an incredible storytelling show. There's not hardly any set, as opposed to when you go and see a lot of the Christmas classics at Christmas time, like The Nutcracker or even the regular Christmas Carol at the Playhouse, which are a wonderful production. They have all the bells and whistles on stage, but this is pretty much a bare stage, and those four actors create everything.
Wow.
And they're brilliant at it. It's really, really fun, amazing night.
Yeah, they just bring it to life.
Yeah,
you don't need a set.
yeah. And the guy who wrote it, Tom Mulla, he played Scrooge for like 25 years in Chicago at the Goodman Theater. He was the Scrooge in the classic Christmas Carol. And then after all that time, he wrote this alternative version and starred in it. And it's really cool.
That is cool, though.
Great idea.
Yeah. I mean, listen, he knows it. He knows the story. He's played it for so long.
Backwards and forwards,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And in the Blue Barn, too, they really do it up for the holidays. When you walk in the theater, a smile just breaks across your face because they've got
all the decorations.
Kitschy Christmas time decorations.
Oh, it's a great place. I love it.
It's like Mr. C's on steroids, isn't it?
Everybody has a glass of wine and watches the show. I mean,
it's a happy place.
Yeah, and the market's so beautiful during the holidays, too.
Yeah, right. Blue Barn is right by Upstream, about a half a block downtown on 11th Street by Upstream.
Yeah.
And this is running all through the month of December. Is that?
Yeah, it runs right up, almost right till Christmas Eve.
Oh, okay, 22nd, you said, through December 22nd?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so everybody needs to call up and get their tickets.
Yeah. You need to call,
quickly.
Need to call fast.
Yeah.
Right after our show.
That's
get
right.
Get on the phone.
Get on the phone, call Blue Barn.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Jacob Marley's Christmas Carol by Tom Mulla.
Right.
Yeah.
Kevin is directing it, right, Kevin?
Yeah, I directed it and had a wonderful time working with everybody. And the design team was amazing, too. Although there's no set, there's an incredible light and sound design to go with the show.
Uh-huh.
And the lighting design the first time around won the best lighting design in the city. And it really deserves it. It's Bill Van Deest, who's one of the top lighting designers in Omaha. And
oh, Bill
it's
Van.
It's a gorgeous Bill Van Deest.
We love Bill Van Deest. We
yeah,
should have him
he's
on our
great.
Show.
Yeah, we should, actually.
We should.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Well, we
yeah.
wish you the best of luck. This sounds like you don't need any luck when it comes to this this play, Jacob Marley's Christmas Carol. It sounds fun and exciting, and hopefully Karen and I will have an opportunity, as well as our listeners, to go to the Blue Barn Theater. And certainly, hopefully they'll be able to get some tickets. As you said, Kevin, there's some tickets still left. So, it is Christmas Carol,
Jacob Marley's Christmas Carol.
Directed by Kevin
Lawler, and it runs through December 22nd.
Perfect. Thanks,
Kevin.
We appreciate
your
time with us.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck.
Happy Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. Same to you.
You're listening to It's the Beat on the Mighty 1290 Coil. Once again, here are your hosts, Karen Sokoloff-Javich and Jody Vinci.
Hi, welcome back to the studio. We're joined by Mark Langan, who's a retired Omaha police officer after 26 years. Can you believe that? Oof. Karen, and during his career, he wrote articles, nationally recognizable articles, and they were published nationally. Mm-hmm. He was awarded the Omaha Police Department's highest honor, and he also wrote a book that we're going to talk to him about, but he's now the Vice President of Field Operations. He's retired from the Police Department, mm-hmm. and he's now Vice President of Field Operations for the Nebraska Humane Society, and he's responsible for crimes that involve animals.
You bet.
Correct?
We investigate animal cruelty crimes, dog fighting investigations, dangerous dogs, just a wide variety of stuff.
And that's big in Omaha. There are a lot of crimes against animals in Omaha?
You know, just today we received a guilty verdict during a jury trial of a lady who starved her dog to death in the basement.
Oh.
We have very sad situations that we deal with. It's a tough job. I thought I had a tough job with the Omaha Police Department.
Right.
Dealt with depressing things. I went from one to the other mm-hmm. because some of the things we see out of the Humane Society are just gut-wrenching, but then we see great things, too, involving animals and dog owners that love their dogs, and so it kind of balances out.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You've been there for 9 years now.
Been there for 9 years with the Omaha Police for 26 years. Prior to that, retired 9 years ago this month and started the next week with the Nebraska Humane Society.
Oh. I mean, well, it's tough to keep a retired cop down, they say. You know, you always have to do something.
Well, you know, for 26 years, I lived on adrenaline rushes every day, uh-huh. and you just can't retire. It's very tough just to retire and do nothing for police officers. So few police officers just retire and drift off.
And just drift off. And as a police officer, it was undercover, right, for drug dealers, and it was narcotics and
starting in the mid-'80s, I went undercover in the Vice Squad and worked prostitution cases and bookie joints in downtown Omaha and large-scale bookmaking operations, and then moved on to drug dealers and the narcotics unit, and then got promoted, stayed in the drug squad, and supervised undercover investigations for the last 16 years I was there.
And that's all in your book, Mark?
We detail a lot in the book in regards to the early days of undercover investigations in the 1980s, the seedy, murky downtown strip joints and the bookie joints that used to be in downtown Omaha, and working my way in there and making bets, and the Del Mar Club at 24th and Farnham, which isn't there anymore, and the downtown rec room. And these are really cool places to go into.
Wow.
Yeah. Right out of movies. In fact, Sean Penn filmed a movie later called The Indian Runner.
Yeah, sure.
In the Club Del Mar.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's where he filmed it?
And I wrote in the book that, you know, this was right out of a movie, and Sean Penn must have heard me because he came in town and filmed a movie there. So, I mean, these are really cool places mm-hmm. back in the day.
In the book, we're referring to Busting Bad Guys, My True Crime Stories of Bookies, Drug Dealers, and Ladies of the Night.
Mark Langan.
I know it. I mean, that's, really growing up in Omaha, we think it's, we don't see folks that are in the.
We lived in La La Land.
Yeah.
We don't know any of this.
Out west and those folks that are, you know, beyond, you know, 50th, 40th Street, depending, and on, you know, out west, we just, mm-hmm. you're right. We used to, we grew up in an environment where you could leave your keys
in
the car.
Protected.
And
very protected.
Yeah.
You know, people would be surprised, though. We did a lot of West Omaha investigations on drug dealers, prostitution operations. Mm-hmm. I mean, Omaha, it's a great town to live in, don't get me wrong. And the crime rate's relatively low compared to other cities Omaha's size, but we still have problems like prostitution, drug dealing. And it's not just a North Omaha problem, not just a South Omaha problem.
Right.
We work citywide and made arrests all over the city.
Wow.
Well, and you know what, Karen, I mean, you even think about this shooting out on 160th and wherever.
Sure.
I mean,
it's
so it really,
over.
It is. It's all over. I just think, you know, growing up, we thought it was Mayberry RFD, and we didn't see the seedy,
you know,
part of it.
Sure, I mean, look at the West Roads Mall. You know,
oh, sure.
That happened.
Yeah,
it's
everything.
Around.
And we try to paint that picture in the book that, you know, how I tried to be as descriptive as I could be in regards to how the prostitutes used to walk the streets of downtown Omaha late at night, and the Johns would circle the block. And, you know, it was like a drive-through window trying to watch these guys circle the block, and they're like piranhas, or like fish coming to bait, basically. And
isn't
it was really
something?
Interesting. And then the drug dealing operations, you know, we worked street-level drug investigations, all the way up to wiretap investigations and federal-type investigations, by-bus operations, no-knock search warrants. I mean, it was it was an adrenaline rush, and my wife likes to say I thrived on the stress for 26 years, and I did. It was a very stressful job, but it was a fun type of stress. Mm-hmm. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Finally decided to put it into a book.
Yeah, which is amazing.
That's
I mean, and that's
great.
Certainly you have a lot of material mm-hmm. to put into that book.
I could probably write another book, right away, because I couldn't put a lot of stories in there. But, you know, cops tell great stories, and
they have
great stories, and we don't have to make them up. They come to us. And my dad always told me, save everything you do. So I did scrapbooks, and I saved notes and all that kind of stuff, and it really helped when it came to writing this book.
Did you always want to be a policeman, Mark?
Always did. I was very lucky to realize my dream early. My dad was in federal law enforcement, so I kind of grew up in that area and went to Blessed Sacrament grade school out of 30th and Curtis. And from the time I was a little kid, I wanted to be a cop and came on relatively young at age 19, the youngest ever hired.
Is that right?
And my mom and dad cringed when they found out I was going to be a police officer at that
young
age.
Sure, at 19, that's scary.
Especially my mom wasn't too thrilled
about
it.
Absolutely, her boy.
But it worked out pretty good for me, and 26 years later I retired and then came to the Nebraska Humane Society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is, I mean, that alone. I mean, you're going from one, as you said, from one problem area to another, where you do see great things. Even as a policeman, you saw wonderful things. You saw a seedy, obviously the undertow of Omaha. But at the Humane Society, how I think it would be fulfilling. It would be challenging because you're obviously, you know, stopping those folks that are doing such incredibly
cruel, heinous things
to animals. And, I mean, animals, come on, they're helpless. I mean, they're animals.
But we also celebrate the good animal owners that come out. Yeah. We adopt out 10,000 animals a year to mostly loving homes, and the dogs and cats work out great, and the people bring them back for our events. And animals that we confiscated in cruelty cases, we find adopted later to a loving family. And there's a lot of good things that we see out there, too.
Absolutely.
Cases like I talked about today, the dog that starved to death in the basement, that's tough on us when we see that.
Yeah,
that dog was actually adopted from us by that person. Then 3 months later, we find the dog starved to death. It was very difficult to deal with. But we see a lot of great things. We see a lot of sad things, just like I did on the police department.
Yeah.
Oh. Totally. And you've been on the Nancy Grace Show, CNN, and the Today Show. Was there a specific thing you were talking about when you were on those shows?
Well, you know, the Nancy Grace Show dealt with pit bulls, and that's always a dynamic area in regards to pit bulls and dog bites. And the Today Show was kind of a funny deal. We found a dog, a black lab, marooned on an iceberg in the middle of the Platte River back in January of, I think, 2005 or 6, and the poor dog got out there somehow but couldn't get off, and he ended up jumping in the water trying to swim to us, and I'm in a suit, and I had a trench coat on, and I reached in the water and pulled him out and almost fell in myself, and one of my assistants is trying to hold on to me and everything. Well, there happened to be a Channel 6 news camera there because people had called. So that video ended up on the Today Show.
Matt
Lauer laughingly asked, why did the guy in the trench coat, or how did he end up pulling the dog out of the water? So, I mean, you just never know what you're going to be exposed to. Just like on the police department, every day was different. Every day at the Humane Society is totally different. You never know what you're going to expect.
Mm-hmm. And so you're called out to these situations to investigate as well?
Well, we are. You know, one of our primary missions at the Humane Society is animal rescue. So if we have an animal in distress, we're going to go out and do our best to do that. And we have animal control officers on the street right now. I mean, 24/7.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That respond to calls like that.
They
make over 40,000 calls a year in the Omaha area. People have no idea how busy the animal control officers are.
And they're called out for a number of reasons, right? There could be a snake in somebody's bathtub or something, or there could be...
Could be a bat in somebody's house.
Right.
I see.
Or an animal, unfortunately.
Dog bite situation, animal cruelty situation, just a wide variety of calls.
Yeah. So do you miss being a policeman?
You know, I do, but we had some situations when I was on the police department, especially towards the end of my career that I write about in the book. Mm-hmm. It also involved a shooting incident that only took up 13 seconds of my career out of 26 years, but... Sadly, we were forced to engage a suspect in gunfire, resulting in his death. That kind of hit home, that how dangerous the job was, and I wondered how many lives I have left on this job. Like cats have 9 lives. We had so many dangerous situations. So after that, I started looking around, realizing that if something good came along, I was going to take it. You know, I didn't want to put my wife through another situation like that. So the Humane Society came along. We jumped on it.
Terrific. Right. Aren't we lucky to have him working
for
the Humane Society?
And it's great that you can follow your passion. Mm-hmm. I mean, truly, you've done, you know, what you did
Two
for 26
passions.
Years, you were able to retire. But as I said, I don't think anyone really, I mean, it's tough, especially because you were so young at retirement.
It's worked out very well for me, and I've been very excited to put all these thoughts into the book, Busting Bad Guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the website's going to be up and running here.
Today, hopefully.
Hoping to
sell. Tell us the website, Mark.
BustingBadGuys.com.
Oh, well, that's... Okay, that's
and
easy.
And books will be available on that website, and I plan on doing a lot of speaking engagements and book signings, and The restaurants I write about in the book, a lot of pledge to have book signings
yeah.
there.
So. I think
a lot of
you
good
should.
Restaurants.
Yeah,
in
he
that
writes.
Book.
He said, "What cop doesn't know what a good restaurant is in Omaha?"
There's a method to my madness for writing
yes.
about That's restaurants,
right.
so we're going to have book signings.
Good idea.
Right, there's a chapter just dedicated
Great
to restaurants.
Idea.
I think it's wonderful.
Give us the name of the book again, Mark.
Busting Bad Guys: My True Crime Stories of Bookies, Drug Dealers, and Ladies of the Night.
Oh,
and
it's great. Well,
it's
thanks.
Mark Langan, L-A-N-G-A-N. You're a pleasure, Mark.
Yes, thanks so much for joining us.
You guys, thank you so much for having me, too. This
Good
is my
luck.
First one for the book. I really appreciate you having me here.
We'll have you back again.
Absolutely.
Love
when
to be
you
here.
Go on your TV tour.
Thank
That's
you.
That's right, when you're appearing live.
I appreciate it very
you.
Much.
Thanks, Mark. Best
thanks,
of
Mark.
Luck to you.
Thank you guys very much.
You're listening to It's the Beat on the Mighty 1290 Coil. Once again, here are your hosts, Karen Sokoloff-Javich and Jody Vinci.
Jode, I hope everyone warmed up with our show.
I
don't
know
you think?
It. I think if they just wrap themselves in our radio show, they will have warmed
the
up.
The warmth from
yeah.
us, right?
Yeah.
No, it was fun. The Winning Crown Boutique with Michelle Strom.
Yeah, what a great, really, what a great business and
it,
how fun.
It is wonderful for Omaha.
I'm sure we'll be getting fitted for our gowns.
I'm sure
too.
We will.
Absolutely.
For our next pageant.
Yes.
Yeah. The Coil pageant.
Yes. And Kevin Lawler was fun, director of the yeah. Blue Barn, the Marley's Christmas Carol. That uh-huh. sounds like a really interesting play.
Yes, and how about our retired narcotics cop Mark Langan.
Wasn't he incredible?
With this new book.
Yeah, that's a great story. I can't
I
wait
know
to read that
it.
Book.
And, he's so interesting.
You know, and he's what? He's a VP of Operations for the Humane
for the,
Society.
Yeah.
So he's doing, not only did he do good for us in the streets of Omaha, now he's doing good for us and our
for
animals.
Animals. Yep. Yeah,
so that's
terrific.
And Karen, our producer, Michael, uh-huh. saw Nebraska.
Yeah, the movie
the
Nebraska at Film Streams.
Last weekend. Yeah.
And he really liked it. Did you like it, Mike?
I did.
Yeah,
perfect.
I did.
That's right.
He said it was great.
All right, we still have to see it, Karen.
Yes, we have to go to Film Streams and see. And thank you, Film Streams, for being our sponsor. Thanks, Coil. And guess what we're doing next week, Jode?
I hear we are going to be live at Wheatfields. Benefiting Salvation Army.
That's right, in
Papillion. That's right. Shadow Lake?
Okay, Shadow Lake. I've never
Shadow
been to that
Lake,
one.
Yes.
Okay.
You're going to go south, Karen.
I'm going to go south.
So that's
I always
right.
go south.
I'll
Jode.
Map quest it for you. That's right.
I'm
You're
going
to go
south.
South.
All right.
No, but it'll be a great benefit. We're having, I know, some incredible guests.
We are.
For
Billy McGuigan.
Our show.
I can't
yes.
wait to hear him. He's going to play a song for
oh,
us.
Oh, it'll be wonderful.
He's terrific.
And anyone who donates to the Salvation Army in the Red Kettle will receive Karen's Christmas Time CD mm-hmm. free.
Yeah.
How nice of you, Karen.
And the Maynard Triplets sing on it, and Grace Podolak sings on it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's great fun.
Good.
And that'll be our last song today. We're going to hear At Christmas Time on the new CD that you can get next week at Wheatfields if you donate to in the kettlebell to Salvation Army. Right,
Perfect.
Jode?
Absolutely. Hopefully, we will see you all next week.
Next week. Come warm up with us at Wheatfields. At Christmas.